Good morning, everyone. Right, I hope everyone had a good week. It's time to get in the Word of God, and before we get in there, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for you are good God. You give us good things. You came to this world, you lived with us. It was not the nicest place for you, but you came for the sake of us. You died for us. You gave us the kingdom. You promised to go and make a place for us, and you will come again. We believe that, and Lord, we just want to thank you for sustaining us, for giving us good things, for being with us, for being God and being a father and being a friend in our life. Lord, as we get in your word, I pray that you are going to open up the miseries of the kingdom, and you're going to talk to our hearts, and you're going to change us, that we will remain in you, just as a branch can do nothing if it doesn't remain in the vine. In Jesus' name, amen. I will start my sermon today with a story, and it's about the story of a chicken. Yes, the story of a chicken. Most of you knowing that I'm originally from Africa and we like stories. So I will start a story, and it's going to be a story of a chicken. It's about these guys that were working in the same industry, but one guy decided to steal chicken to take it home, and he was caught. He was so scared that he's going to lose his job that they had to make a deal with the security guy. So they're like, look here, we'll make a deal. I'm not going to tell anyone about this chicken, but you're going to be giving me a half your salary. And the guy was like, fine. So the whole thing became so painful because this guy would get salary every month, and before he get home, like, give me my portion. I don't feel like, okay, remember the chicken. And he would take a half of his salary and give it to him. And this continues for a long, long time because the guy who stole chicken knew that if he doesn't give his money, the boss is going to know and he's going to lose his job. So after some time, he decided enough is enough. Go tell my boss anyway, I'm ready to lose this job. So he went ahead and started the story. This guy stole chicken and so on and so on. And the boss was like, when was that? Oh, 2 years ago. Okay, that's it? Oh, no problem. Forgiven. So many of us, sometimes we have things in our life that we fear and think God will never forgive us. And the enemy is happy to hold that against us. That whenever you want to go to God, the enemy tell you, remember the chicken you stole. Remember that chicken you stole. And you shrink and say, oh my God, God will never forgive me. Oh my God, God will never forgive me. But Jesus is saying, you are forgiven. I died for you, for your sin. So it's very interesting, and I know this happens, that most of the time we have people in our life that like to take advantage of the situation, like, remember this, remember this, remember this. It's time to tell the enemy, no, I was forgiven. That's my story about the chicken. Today we are going to look at seeking the kingdom of God, and the scripture I have is a very common scripture. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And for those who want to go deep, I like not only to read one line in the verse, but I like to read like a portion of it so we understand where is Jesus coming from when he's talking to us about a certain thing. So Matthew 28 say, and why do you worry about cloth? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his entire splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes grass of the field, which here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Then Jesus said, but as for you, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. But as for you, seek first the kingdom. It's easy for us to say, no, let's seek first these other things, and then we'll be given the kingdom. But God is giving us the opposite way. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things that we are worried about, God is well able. He is well able to give us. This sounds like contradictive. In our human minds, we will never think this can happen. But every day we are running, worrying. Sometimes we don't even know we are worrying until the Holy Spirit stops us and tells us, look here, you're worrying. Because we are bombarded with all kind of things. Those who are students are bombarded with, am I going to pass this exam? Or am I going to finish this assignment? Or am I going to be pleasing to my professor enough to give me good grades and all this kind of stuff? And those that are in the military like me, they'll be like, am I going to please my commander very well, and my avals and evaluations and all those kind of stuff? Am I going to train enough? Am I going to pass my PFA? Like, I kind of was going there last week because I had to run my PFA. Like, am I going to make enough push-ups and sit-ups? And, you know, am I going to make it, you know, fast enough? You know, all those kind of stuff. So keep drinking water and doing all those kind of stuff. Am I going to pass the weight, the required weight? We have enough things to worry about. And those that are families, we have enough things. Rent, and we have all these things that are bombarded, and we have a right to worry. And just like any other person, we have a right to worry. But Jesus comes to the scene and he is contradicting everything that we are doing and say, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. So here Jesus is introducing the kingdom. And as many of us know that the kingdom of God has an element of now and the future. It's not that we are going to heaven, so we can live the way we want, and when we die, we are going to heaven. But heaven starts from here. We start experiencing the kingdom of God here. We start experiencing the relationship of God. We start experiencing the goodness of God while we are still here. And that is a proof that we have a place in heaven, so that when we die, we know that we are going to heaven. But many times we forget, because we are human and we live a normal life, forgetting that Jesus died for us and he has an expectation in our life. He has given us grace because he knows that we cannot make it on our own. But he has also given us responsibilities as Christians, that we can take care of those responsibilities even in the midst of every other thing. You can still trust God, and God is going to meet you on his end. So what does the kingdom of God look like? Of course, I've had conversation with many people, and I think this is right. If we think about life, as complicated as it might be, it's not. You might think about my iPhone or my Android or whatever it is. The people who have never touched that thing and are still living. We can think about the best clothes or best car, whatever. The people who have never even stepped in a car, honestly, and they're living and they're very happy. So what is life? Life is just about eating and drinking, right? When you get a meal and you get a place. The people who don't sleep in the nicest place in this world, but they sleep nicer than some of us. Yeah. They sleep well than some of us. Now, you go to a sleep doctor and he gives you all the kind of prescription and tell you the kind of mattress you need to. They have no idea what that is. And I tell you the truth, I can testify to you that there are people like that. And if you doubt me, one day when I'm going to Africa, I want to go with you and show you. At one point, I went to this family when I was working with the children on the street and I was taking this girl at home. And when I got to this home, I found out that the girl was living a better life than home. Because there was a table, I think it was in the living room, and that's where the brother used to sleep with no mattress on it. The mother was HIV positive, and the father had died of HIV positive. And as our African culture goes by, when we are going to visit them, we had to buy some stuff, do some shopping, and that's the same things that he used to prepare us a meal for. That shows you how poor they were. So there are people who do not have all these things and they are happy. So that's why Romans says that, Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. And of course, everyone eat and everyone drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in the kingdom of God, there's what we call righteousness. That many of us, because we live in sin and we have not accepted the grace of God to get us from that condemnation. Because what condemnation does is to keep us from that sin. So we keep sinning because we don't think God will ever forgive us. But the grace of God has been revealed to us that help us to say no to sin. So you look at righteousness that comes from God. So when God brings in us his kingdom, he gives us his righteousness. You kind of get out of the kingdom of darkness and you are in the kingdom of light. And you'll be like, I cannot do this more because I'm no longer there. I am God's son. And it's not about you, it's about God working righteousness in you. Like, you wake up and when you are, most of you know that when we received Christ in our life, we felt like we were the most dirtiest people in the world. Our sin came to our face and we could look at them and like, oh my God, this is how sinful I am. And then the Holy Spirit comes and say, it's been taken out. Now you're righteous. It's like Isaiah who met God. And he say, woe unto me, I am a man of unclean lips. And God brought a coal from the altar and burned his lips. And it was good to go. So God kind of shows us how unrighteous we are, kind of shows us how sinful we are, and then he comes and cleans it and tells you, you are clean. You're good to go. That is the grace that we talk about. It's not about us pleasing God. It's not about us trying to be the best we can. And if we cannot make it, we are rejected. It's not about that. It's about God himself giving us that righteousness. He takes the coat of dirtiness, of filthy coat, and he clothes us with the cloth of righteousness. That comes with peace. The peace of knowing you have God. The peace of knowing that if I die today, I have a place in heaven. I've just been talking to a few people on, can't remember the day, but I got a call. I was leaving home. I got a call. Some of you know that I drive Uber sometimes. And I got a call close to my neighbor. Oh, this looks like my neighbor. So I got in and we started talking. So, do you know God? Do you go to church? No. You know, I don't believe in God. Oh, cool. But have you ever thought of where will you go if you die? And I just felt like throwing that question to her. That's not the kind of a person I am. But at this point, I threw that question to her. Have you ever thought about it? When you die, where will you go? And you know what she told me? She told me, I think about that all the time. And when I start thinking about it, I don't sleep. And I started thinking about it. How many of us, we are successful. We are doing well. We came to America to make it. America. But the very thought of dying just kills us. You have no peace. That's why the word of God says there is no peace for the wicked. Those who are wicked, it's not me saying, it's the word of God saying that there's no peace. The wicked will run even when no one is chasing them. And if you ever come to from Africa like me, we have the very fact of being bewitched. That you just think about, oh my God, people are going to bewitch me and I'm going to die. And that scares you out. So in the kingdom of God, there is peace. Where do you get this peace? You get this peace knowing that even when you die, you know where you are going. And if you don't die, you are here and God has your back. I've asked people questions. How do you make it without Christ? When I'm in trouble, I go to Christ. When I'm in trouble, I go and kneel down and say, God, come to my rescue. And he comes. How do you make it? How do you walk in life without Jesus? Who do you go to when you can't do it? Who do you go to? That's why Jesus is necessary. And by the way, if anyone is confused, it's not about religion, and we never talk about religion. We are talking about a relationship, a personal relationship with Christ. It's about me and Jesus. It's not me and Abundant Grace Church. No. No. It's about you. And do you have a relationship with this man who came to rescue you, who came to save you, not just from sin, but from every other things that you cannot save yourself from? Do you have that relationship? Do you have God in your life? Is he in you? Is he living in you? Is he talking to you? Are you talking to him? Are you guys friends? If you meet him today, are you going to say, come on, Jesus, you know, I'm here? Or are you going to run away from him? That's the question. So it's about the peace that comes by you receiving Christ, by you knowing that he is my friend and he can take me through anything that I go through. Anything, it means anything. And once you get there, you have the joy. I remember in the book of Nehemiah, after they had built the walls and they were looking at those dirt and they found the Torah, the law of God, and they started reading the law of God, and people repented, and after repenting, they knew God had forgiven them, and they made a huge feast, and that's where you get the scripture that say, go home, rejoice, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of knowing God is on your side. The joy of knowing that God is with you. The joy of knowing that God is happy with you. That comes by that relationship. That's what the kingdom of God on this earth looks like. Although we walk on this earth, although we work like any other person, although we talk like any other person, that no one might know what is in you, but you know very well, I have the kingdom of God. So much so that when everyone is worried about what is going on, oh my God, the economy, oh, the retirement, oh, everything, you know you are safe in the hands of God. You know that God is on your side. And that is the kingdom we are talking about. The kingdom of God in us. For you to know that anything happening, God will be on my side. That all things work for good for those that are in Christ Jesus and are called for his purpose. For he is the one who justifies, and he the one who is our salvation. That's the kingdom we are talking about, the kingdom of God. You knowing that God is on my side. You will never get that through education. Thank God for education. You will never get that through, you know, any other thing. You never get it through, you know, having a nice place or whatever. No. It is only found in God. By you knowing God, walking with God, and having a relationship with God. A good example is the book of John, chapter 3. You find this guy called Nicodemus. He was a well-to-do guy. He was in the ruling council of the Pharisees. He went to Jesus at night. I kept asking myself, why did he go to Jesus at night? He realized Jesus had something that he needed. Why at night? He had seen Jesus. Jesus had been revealed to his heart that I need this Jesus. And when he went there, Jesus did not miss his point. He told, look here, you need to be born again. So how do you get in this kingdom? You need to be born again. And although this guy would go on and say, how will I be born again? Jesus was forthright to tell him, look here, you got to be born again. It's about being born again. It's being born in his kingdom. It's simple. For you to be on this earth, you had to be born again. And you had to be born. And imagine if after 9 months, you're not being born. And like, no, I don't want to go. No, I'm going to stay here. The doctors will force you out through cesarean because your time is up. Time is up, you got to be born, you got to go. So there's no way you would say, no, I want to stay here, no. You got to go. Now, this is how interesting it is. The same thing happens when you have to go to the other kingdom. You can say, no, I don't want to die. I heard of a story of some people who try to put stuff in their body so that they don't die. And when I heard of it, it was creepy. I don't know how true that is. But it's all about witchcraft and all this kind of stuff. Then I asked this guy, so, you know, you want to tell me they put that thing in your body, then you don't die? Like, yeah. But then how does it work? That like, you can be sick, you can suffer, you can, but your heart is not going to, but like, I don't know. I don't know how true that is. But people do all kinds of things because they don't want to die. Why? Because they're afraid of death. That is the same thing that Jesus came to destroy death. So much so that we do not fear death, for we know we have hope beyond the grave. And I know this is not American when we talk about death, but it's reality. That one day we will go. And I've had shocking news from friends, like when we had a Westgate attack, the following day in the office, I got a phone call. Do you know VC? Yeah, it's my friend. We worked together with. She was shot, and she's no longer there. It happens. It does happen. As much as we don't want to talk about it. So that introduces us to the kingdom of heaven, that is the kingdom of God in the future. Are we getting prepared for it? And the only way we can get prepared for it is by getting born again. So we have the element of now and we have the element of future. I will submit to all of us that it's only wise if you are a wise man, a wise man who built his house on the rock. If you are a wise man, I will submit to you, the only wise thing you can do is to invest in your future. And the only way you can invest in your future is getting born again and investing in your future. For we do not know what tomorrow holds. Today we were just talking with Janine about how people put all kind of money in retirement. Don't eat everything, you know. Put something aside. When you retire, you'll be fine. But we don't know whether we'll get there. It's okay to do that. I don't have a problem. Or life insurance, or all those kind of insurance. We do all those kind of, but we never invest in our internal life. Are we being wise? In our internal life, where we will live there forever and ever, only wise men will invest. Because Jesus himself came and said, what are you going to gain by getting the whole world and losing your soul? It's important for us to think about our life, our future life. Let's think about it. Let's have that conversation. Let's talk to our neighbors about it. And let's receive this Christ and ask him for life. He say, by no means, whoever come to him is going to reject him. He will never reject you when you come to him. It's important that we think about our life after this life. It's okay to invest in 401k and all those insurance and all, everything. It's okay. But if you forget the most important thing, your life after this life, then you're not being wise. Only wise men are going to invest. So here come the Pharisees, who is Nicodemus, and finally, Jesus introduces the attribute of being born again. For Nicodemus knew very well, as much as he had the law, he had the word, he had everything, there was something lacking in his life. And Jesus himself, being God, diagnosed and knew what Nicodemus was looking for. Despite him being a Jewish and being one of the, you know, the top cream people, the leadership and everything, he still lacked the kingdom of God. What does that tell us? It doesn't matter about our accomplishment. We still need God. It doesn't matter about whatever we are doing. We still need God. So sometimes we put our head in the grass or in the sand like an ostrich and try to pretend it's all fine when it's not. The most important thing, if you ask me, I will tell you, deal with the situation that is supposed to be dealt with. If it is sin, deal with it. Don't put your head in the ground and say, no, I'll do it tomorrow. The Bible says the day of salvation is today. It's not about tomorrow. So you never know. You don't know because you don't own the world. You don't know what's going to happen to you. So the most important thing, if you don't have this Jesus in your heart, it's like, come in me. And you know, if you don't know how to do it, just say, Jesus, you know what? I don't know how to do it, but help me out. He will come in for you. He will help you out. If you seek him, you'll find him. If you seek him with your whole heart. So as all of us know that when Jesus started preaching, he started preaching about the kingdom of God is at hand. And that was his main message. We just talked about seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. And in our prayer time, and I found this very effective, that when I'm praying, I ask God, Lord, help me seek your kingdom. Because when you are seeking the kingdom of God, every other thing will be added to you. Jesus himself said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And when you read the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is telling people, don't sit here and ask, who will go to heaven and bring it to us? Or who will go to the head and bring it to us? But the kingdom of God is with us, is with Jesus. And when we receive this Jesus, we have the kingdom. Jesus himself gave the parables. If you look at the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 and 45, he talks about the kingdom of God being like a treasure hidden in a field. I like that illustration. It is hidden in a field. And when you find it, whoever find it, the Bible say that when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. So the kingdom of God is not hidden from you, but is hidden for you. It is not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. When you find it, you will sell everything you have. Because it's so good that it's worthy anything else. Because once you have it, you have everything that you need. And that is the kingdom of God. That is a hidden treasure. And we need to pray that both our friends, our neighbors, our family will find this kingdom. Because it is hidden not from us, but for us. When you find it, you will sell everything that you have. You will value that kingdom than anything else. It's like, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearl. When he found one of a great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. That's Matthew 13, 14 and 40, 44 and 45. That's how precious and important the kingdom of God is. Lest those of us who've been in salvation for a long time, let us not take it simple. It is precious. It is precious. Sometimes the enemy comes and tell you, are you sure? No. It is precious. So let's guard this kingdom because the enemy wants to come and dilute it so that we don't see the value of it. It's when you find it, you sell everything. You give out everything for it because it's worthy than anything else. It's worthy because when you have the kingdom, you have everything that you need. Things that we are looking for, things that we have looked for or searched for or worked for years, you can get it easily with the kingdom of God. This story is being resonated with the story of the rich young ruler who had everything. Mark 10, 17 to 27. He comes to Jesus and says, no, good teacher, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Like, oh, yeah, 10 commandments. Oh, I did that. That's good. Okay, now go sell everything to the poor and follow me. And he is disturbed. Like, is that hard? No, I'm not. And he went, and Jesus himself. I'm looking at Jesus in a very interesting way. Jesus would be going on with his business and we'd meet one or two people. And their faith is great. And he will stop and say, look here, I've not found faith like this. But at this point, he was disappointed that this man would not follow what Jesus told him. Because he looked at his wealth more important than the kingdom, and he lost the kingdom. And say, how difficult is it?
But then, when you continue reading this scripture, then his disciples say, Jesus, but we left everything for you. We left everything for the kingdom. And Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And he tells the disciples, no one that has left his family, his everything, and has followed God who will never receive a hundredfold. So when you continue reading this story, if you end it from here, you're going to be discouraged. But if you continue reading this story and see people who have given up for the kingdom, everything for the kingdom, they don't lose. They don't lose nothing. They do not lose. They might look like they're losing, but they have not lost nothing. There's no way you will come to God and lose it because he's God of everything. Lastly, but not last, I want to give two stories. One is about the prodigal son, and the last one will be about the rich man and Lazarus. What is common with these two stories is both of them came to their mind. And before I say the story, at one point in our life, we will come to our mind. The most important thing is, when are we going to come to our mind? The prodigal son came to his mind when he was still on this earth. And he said, I'm going back to my father. The rich man came to his mind when he was in hell. And he would not change his destiny. The most important thing is, when are we going to come to our mind? Some people, I've heard a saying that say change is inevitable. You can either change when you see light or when you feel the heat. I don't want us to change when we feel the heat in hell, and you are not going to change at that point. But let's change when we hear the gospel for those that have not, you know, taken serious the things of God in their life. At one point, it will come to the realization, so these things were true. So they were true. I wish I had. And this rich man say, please send some people down there. Let them tell my brothers, my five brothers, it is hot in here. It's tough in here. And he's being told, no, we have Moses and other prophets there. If they don't listen to them, they will end up where you are. And this is Jesus giving the story, so it is true. So we can either come to our mind, to come to our senses, either while we are still on this earth, we can change and go to heaven. Or we will come to our senses while we are in hell, and we will not change our future. Unless, as believers, share these things to our friends and pray that God will give us a chance to explain or have conversation of what is life, what is the kingdom of God. When you get in the kingdom of God, there's only one thing. If you get born again, there's only one thing you're going to lose, your sins. And I can testify that you are only going to lose your sins. And when you lose your sins, it'd be worth the while, because sin does not add anything in your life. It's a deception. It is a deception. You think you're having fun by sinning, but you are not. That's something I'm going to assure you, you're going to lose. But the things you're going to gain after losing that sin is great. So I would submit to every one of us, especially those that are doubting that there is a heaven, there's a kingdom, and the king is God. And there is another kingdom of the devil. Let's not doubt these things. They're true. They're true. You can either come to realization now when you are still walking this earth, or you can come to realization when you get in that rough place. Unfortunately, you're going to live there forever
and ever. Let's seek the kingdom of God. It is worthy seeking the kingdom of God. It is wise, smart people seek the kingdom of God. I read a bumper sticker on a car that say, "Wise men still seek him, Jesus." Wise men still seek him, Jesus. It doesn't matter what kind of noise we get around us and what kind of argument we get around us, the truth remains, the foundation remains that God knows his own, and those that seek him has to forsake evil and follow God. Lord, we thank you for your word. You're God of heaven, you're God of earth. You're the creator, no matter what man or any other person say, is not going to change you. Your foundation is strong, cannot be shaken. Your word is true, cannot be challenged. No one can judge you, for you are judge of all. We pray that, Lord, this truth will sink in us and will change us, and we will live a life worthy the kingdom on this earth. And when our time reaches for us to go, we will jump into the other world with courage, with joy, with love, knowing that, Lord, you've carried us through this life and we can come and rejoice in you. I pray this for all my brothers and sisters, that we can have that hope of the kingdom and we can pursue and follow your ways without having to be discouraged or doubt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.